Welcome to Daniel Britt and Friends, an hour of good music and fun conversations featuring gospel music's brightest new artists, as well as legendary tributes and memories from its past. Now, here is Daniel Britt.
Well, it's another week and another opportunity to highlight one of the best out there. And when you talk about a voice that's recognizable, when you talk about the songwriting skills that go along with it, bundled up in one talented individual, you got to be talking about Mark Bishop. And so welcome, Mark Bishop, to Daniel Britt and Friends.
Hey, Daniel, how's it going this morning?
Oh, man, doing well. And listen, you have made such a mark on gospel music. I guess we got to start back as a kid. I mean, you carry that name, the Bishop.
I have all my life.
You grew up singing, evidently, because we know the story of the bishops.
Well, I sang with my father and my brother and some fellows that played music with us down through the years. And we just always kind of, you know, harmonized on the front porch back home growing up and began singing in church a little bit. And that blossomed out just as we sang around here locally in central eastern Kentucky, and it just kind of grew from there.
So let me ask, with the bishops, Kentucky has been a close ally to your group, right?
Well, it's probably evident in my speech. People are listening to my voice right now, and they know that I'm not from anywhere in the north. But, Kentucky has always been an influence on our style of music. As a matter of fact, a lot of places we would go, you know, we would get up and perform with piano, bass, and drums. And folks would come up after the concert and say, you know, I never really liked bluegrass music before, but I like you guys. And that just always dumbfounded us, because to us, bluegrass music was, you know, banjo and fiddle and guitar and mandolin and all of that. But there was something inherent in our voices, I think, that made people, you know, think and reminisce about bluegrass type music.
And I guess you would find that to be true. I mean, I guess if you're not a bluegrass fan, you may have a different idea of what bluegrass is than if you were a diehard.
Well, you know, everything is relative. I just got back from the January Bible study cruise. And there were a lot of folks on there that weren't familiar with Southern gospel music. Some of these folks were from the extreme west and northwest, and they had no idea about this. They didn't know what kind of category to put the Southern gospel music in. It sounded kind of country to them. And I had folks asking, now, where do they play your music at? Is it on country radio? And but they had no idea about gospel music, about Bill Gaither or Singing News Magazine or Quartet Convention. All of that was just foreign to them.
So what do you do when you meet people like that who've never heard about gospel music, never heard Mark Bishop's music? How do you go about describing what it is?
Well, it's exciting to me because, first of all, when they come up, you know, they are intrigued by the music and they love the music and they love the clarity of the message in our music. And that's the greatest thing that we have going for us, I've always believed, is the straightforwardness and the clarity of our message in our music. That's why I enjoy writing songs so much, I guess. In gospel music, in Southern gospel music in particular, you don't have to fool around. You just go right straight to the heart of the message and say what's on your heart, and that appeals to them.
That's so true. And listen, we're going to talk about the different styles of gospel music. We'll talk about Mark's influences growing up. But right now, let's go back and hear some classic sounds from the bishops as you're listening to Daniel Britt and Friends.
I don't worry about the rain or the storm clouds or the trouble Satan has for me today. Though the very best in hell may rise against me, there's a greater power standing in his way. I don't fret about the news or the headlines, a world that has the devil yet to pay. I've been bought by the blood of the Savior, and I rest assured good news is on the way. When Jesus is all that I have, he's all that I need. He is all that I need. Abundantly more than enough to face my enemies. Drives me to my knees. When Jesus is
escape the chains that have you bound. If you hear Satan laugh through hollow promises, let me tell you of the victory I found. When Jesus is all that I have, he's all that I need.
He's all that I need.
Abundantly more than enough to face my enemy.
Abundantly more than enough for my need.
Though the thunder rolls around me and the light surrounds me, though the adversary drives me to my knees. When Jesus is all that I have, he's all that I need. Though the thunder rolls around me and the lightning flash surrounds me, though the adversary drives me to my knees. When Jesus is all that I have, he's all that I need. Jesus is all that I have. When Jesus is all that I have. When Jesus is all that I have, he's all that I
drive a fancy car, be a Hollywood attraction, not a famous movie star. You might know the Queen of England, hang around with the elite. You might own a five-star hotel or a horse that can't be beat. But I know there'll come a day when you'll trade it all away for what I have, for what I have. All the gold in California, all the coffee in Brazil, all the stocks and bonds on Wall Street, all the $100 bills. They may occupy the daydreams of a more ambitious man, but my eyes are fixed on heaven and I'm sticking to my plan. I'll tell the whole world, even though they might not understand or know, just what I have, just what I have.
What I have is a soul bought by the blood and sanctified. What I have is a little years where I cried, and I won't forget the day I traded all my sins away for what I have, for what I have.
Hey, you go searching for the answers and you can't find your relief in your craving satisfaction, but all you find is grief. Would you listen to a brother that's already been around? Put your faith in this old world, and this old world will let you down. Jesus Christ can save your soul, and I'm here to let you know that's what I have, that's what I have.
What I have is a soul bought by the blood and sanctified. What I have is a little pool of tears where I cried. And I won't forget the day I traded all my sins away for what I have, for what I have.
Well, I'll stand and testify even when they criticize what I have, what I have.
And no matter what they see, I know they cannot take away what I have, what I have.
I'll tell the whole world, even though they may not understand and know just what I have.
As a matter of fact, I know that Jesus knows exactly what I have, what I have.
What I have is a soul bought by the blood and sanctified. What I have is a little pool of tears where I cried. And I won't forget the day I traded all my sins away for what I have, for what I have.
Go tell the family,
that's what I have.
Tell your physician,
that's what I have.
Go tell
that's what I have.
And the world can't take away what I have.
This is Daniel Britton, friends, with our guest today, Mark Bishop, who's out traveling the highways and byways, an ambassador for gospel music, even to people who think it's country music, and he has to set them straight. Mark, it's good to have you on the show today.
And I'm glad to be here.
And to hear of your influences. Now, I've got to tell you, just last week, somebody came to me because they heard one of your songs on the radio, and they said, that Mark Bishop guy, you can tell who he listened to growing up. I said, who? They said, well, it has to be a little John Denver, a little Bob Dylan. You can tell it all throughout his music. You can hear those strains. Is that true or not?
I don't know who you're talking about, actually. I'm kidding. I love all kinds of music. And I guess, you know, you can't help but be a product of the influences that you had growing up. Everybody is. I'm sure that you're influenced in your style on the radio by peers that have come before you. And growing up in our household, there was always music playing. But actually, I never was a big fan of any of the ones that you just mentioned there, although they did great music, and I'm aware of it. But I have listened to lots of different singers, I guess, and different songwriters. I've probably studied songwriters, actually, more closely than I have any singers. But the voice that comes out of my mouth is just mine, and I've never tried to alter it in any other way. That's just what comes out. For the better or worse, that's what I've got.
With the bishops that traveled so many years, help me identify as you guys were a trio, you and your brother and your dad, right?
Yes, that's correct.
Vocally.
And then we had a couple of fellows that would play and sing with us. We were kind of known for a lot of a cappella. What we called front porch singing, which was four-part harmony, and it wasn't quite barbershop, and it wasn't quite, you know, choral arrangements. It was just something that was uniquely, I don't know if you'd say Appalachian or country, but, you know, sounded like arrangements that you might put together on your front porch back home, but we were just always aware of harmony and chord progressions and then our, you know, our mountain dialect, I guess, kind of creeped in and made it a form of its own.
What was it like traveling in that particular arrangement when you'd be maybe on a program with some big name quartets and you weren't necessarily, like you just said, you weren't a four part male quartet. So when you take the stage before a Southern gospel audience, what was the reception like? And what was it like? I guess use the word wowing them with that front porch singing.
Well, we just always appreciated that contrast was good. Whenever we would be on, you know, the platform, that was the wonderful thing, it seemed like, about our style, is that we could play to an audience that might be more rural and might like a more country, twangy type sound. We could kind of fit in with a program that had, you know, artists more like that, or you know, we could be with the Cathedral Quartet and the Tallies and different artists, and we could still fit in and appeal to that audience, although, you know, it would be a little bit different. A lot of places that we would go, you know, there would be people that were hearing us for the first time, but they would always come and tell us how much they enjoyed our style of music.
I'm thinking of the song Holy Ghost Revival. I think you did that in Atlanta on the Gaither video. Yeah. That just had so much energy to it. I mean, and you did a lot of those type songs, I think, where you just kind of, I think of groups nowadays like sometimes the Isaacs, when they get into that semi-bluegrass type mode that they get into, yeah, and they head for it full steam ahead.
Well, you've got to have a showstopper. You know, you've got to have a song that you can leave them standing with. And down through the years, we had a lot of good songs like that. And that was a great Joel Hemphill song. He had written that song, and they had recorded it actually previous to us recording it. But it just really seemed to fit us whenever we started performing it live, and we recorded it on an album, and then Bill Gaither invited us to sing that song when we recorded that large concert down at the Atlanta Dome, and it really got a good reception that day, too, and we had sung that song probably four nights a week for many, many years, I guess.
And I love the way you kind of maybe borrowed that from the way the quartets kind of all at the very end, they kind of take different turns hitting their last note there and coming in a little bit off of each other.
We always did that. We thought everybody was supposed to do that. That's the Southern gospel way. It adds that dynamic to a live presentation, especially. You can't, you know, what's funny is you don't hear that as much on studio recordings. If you go back and you'll test your memory, you'll say, you know, they really don't have those frantic endings like that. Everything is so much tighter and neater on studio recordings. But when you get to the live concerts, you want that dynamic, because actually that is almost as much a visual aspect as it is, you know, an audio aspect. When you listen to it and watch it at the same time, it has a larger effect.
Our guest today is Mark Bishop on Daniel, Britt, and Friends. More with Mark in a moment.
We need an old-fashioned heaven sent Holy Ghost revival touching me, touching you. We need a sin erasing restoration, Holy Ghost revival, sending more, our souls renew.
Churches learn to make things happen on the natural side. Our buildings and our programs, they have not turned the tide. This is warfare and our weapons, faith, the word, and love. We need a fresh anointing from above.
We need an old-fashioned heaven sent Holy Ghost revival, touching me, touching you. We need a sin erasing restoration, Holy Ghost revival, send it more, our souls renew.
If we want the power God has promised at the last, we won't find it stirring in the ashes of the past. There's a new day dawning, praying, lift up holy hands.
Revival, Bible, sweep across the land.
We need an old-fashioned heaven sent Holy Ghost revival, touching me, touching you.
We need a saturation, restoration, Holy Ghost revival, send it, Lord, our souls renew.
We need an
old-fashioned heaven sent Holy Ghost revival, touching me, touching you. We need a saturation, restoration, Holy Ghost revival, send it, Lord, our souls renew. We need an old-fashioned heaven sent Holy Ghost revival, touching me, touching you. We need a sin erasing restoration, Holy Ghost revival, send it, Lord, our souls renew. We need an old fashioned heaven sent sin erasing restoration, soul saving, devil chasing, Holy Ghost revival, send it, Lord, our souls renew. Send it, Lord.
The Bishops. Here they are now with their friends, the Hoppers.
Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate living. Let's celebrate knowing the one we adore. Share with the people the love and the gospel, and they won't turn back to this world anymore.
I get so tired of the bad news around us. Sometimes my heart gets homesick to go. But we are commissioned to help spread the gospel. We are a light for each wayfaring soul. Give God the glory for all of the good things. Give God the glory for making you whole. Hope finds a home when a heart finds salvation. Give God the saving your soul.
Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate living. Let's celebrate knowing the one we adore. Share with the people the love in the gospel, and they won't turn back to this world anymore.
We like to celebrate every occasion. Birthdays and ball games, holidays big and small.
And let's take a moment and honor the Savior. And let's celebrate the best reason of all.
Where two or three are gathered, He's with us.
Through preaching and singing, my soul is inspired.
I gather strength from my sisters and brothers.
We're warming.
Celebrate Jesus,
Jesus. Let's celebrate living. Let's celebrate knowing the one we adore. Share with the people the love in the gospel. They won't turn back to this world anymore. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate living. Let's celebrate knowing the one we adore. Share with the people the love in the gospel. They won't turn back to this world anymore. Let's celebrate Jesus. Let's celebrate Jesus. Share with the people the love in the gospel. They won't turn back to this world.
This is Daniel Britton, friends. We're talking to Mark Bishop today, and we're reliving some moments of his early career with the Bishops, and we've been talking about how the Bishops sound kind of, well, very unique, front porch singing, as you all labeled it through the years there. When did the decision start to come about for this group to get on the road and start traveling? I mean, how old were you?
Let's see. I would have been probably in my mid-20s or so, although we had kind of always sang. We recorded our first album, actually, for my grandmother, who was getting sick and wasn't able to attend church. And she wanted to still be able, even though she wasn't well enough to go to church, she wanted to be able to hear her son and grandson sing. So we recorded a local album just for her, and some local radio stations started to get a hold of that and pick that up, and it spread from there and until it reached the ears of the Eddie Crook Company down in Nashville, and they offered us the opportunity to come and record with them. And our very first single out of the gate was a song called Oh God, I Love You. And lo and behold, it hit the Singing News Top 40 chart well before we were aware that there was a Singing News Top 40 chart. We weren't really aware that there was this, you know, industry of gospel music and this circuit of concerts and charts and things like that. And as the popularity of the group grew, then around about the mid-80s, we recorded a song called Lazarus Come Forth that was a big song for us at the time, and it had a lot of national exposure. And because of that, our booking agency down in Nashville, the Harper Agency, they became interested and thought that they could represent us to appear at enough concerts to sustain a group. And shortly after that, we went full-time.
Do you ever get that opportunity to tell young and up-and-coming artists to hold on, to bloom where you're planted, and just be surprised, because sometimes it comes where you least expect it, and not even trying too hard to, you know, push a song on the radio, and there it was, voila.
Well, absolutely. You know, the thing that you should strive for is to just be the best you can be at your craft. Just make your music just what it, you know, wholly needs to be, for you to be satisfied with it. And if you're satisfied with it and you think that it's good, then chances are a lot of other people will feel the same way about it. And but you know, the Lord has different plans for all of us, and some folks, that's what God wants them to do. He wants them to travel further distances to sing, and some folks, you know, are going to be no less of a blessing to people in their area. But we've got great friends that are super talented that have never sung outside of, you know, 2 hours of from where they live. But when we all get to heaven, you know, their reward is going to be just as great, because they have done what God has called them to do.
This is Mark Bishop on Daniel Britt and Friends.
It all starts with just one voice that takes a stand, that makes a choice to live for God and not hesitate to tell the world about amazing grace. Go reach the world, touch one more soul. Another chance.
store for the child of the Lord, for you walk with the King of Kings. And each word that you say when you kneel down to pray will be carried on the backs of angels' wings. When you walk with Jesus, you're going to do great things. Storm clouds or the trouble Satan has for me today. Though the very best in hell may rise against me, there's a greater power standing in his way. When Jesus is all that I have, he's all that I need,
he's all that I need,
abundantly more than enough to face my change your mind, you're gonna find the love of God and sing about amazing grace. Or you can wait a little while and become a believer when you meet him face to face. Will you make it into heaven or will you get left behind? Well, I guess it all depends on when you change your mind. When you change your mind, you're gonna find the love of God and sing about amazing grace. Or you can wait a little a believer when you meet him face to face. Will you make it into heaven or will you get left behind? Well, I guess it all depends on when you change your mind. When David gathered a handful of stones, where the soldiers had fallen, he waited alone. With a prayer and a little rock, the giant fell right on the spot. Well, that's what David prayed for, and that's what David got. You can't ask too much of my God. No, you can't ask too much of my God. When you're broke and you cannot find the peace of mind that seems to leave you behind, have you spoken to the God of Abraham, the great I Am? He's greater than any problem you've got. And you can't ask too much of my God. Can't ask too much of my God. It all starts with just one voice.
Our guest today is Mark Bishop, and listen, we're living through some great memories of Mark as we go through the early years. And I guess, what, the early 80s until when the Bishops were together?
Yeah, let's see. The group started about 1984. I think our very first national release was 85. And then the group retired in 2001. Dad got off the road. My brother kind of pursued more political things. Some of the other guys were playing music with other groups. And my wife wouldn't let me retire and get off the road. That's how much my wife loves the Lord. She said, Mark, you're going to get back out there and sing. But I have just always enjoyed the writing. I guess the writing the songs are probably the thing that just keeps me the most attached to this music. If I were to stop singing today, I would still continue writing because it's just such a part of me now.
And of course, we still hear some happenings with Kenny. But tell me about your dad. What's he up to lately?
Well, Dad is mostly bugging Mom, I guess you could say. He actually, his health wasn't the best in the last few years that the group was traveling on the road. The bus was really wearing him down, and even though we only traveled, you know, usually about 4 days a week, by the time we would get back, he would just be worn out because he couldn't sleep so well when the bus was moving. And a lot of times after concerts, you know, you'd go get in your bunk at midnight, and the bus was moving at 65 miles an hour. And when you woke up at 8 o'clock the next morning, it was still moving at 65 miles an hour. And if you couldn't rest with the bus moving, you didn't get much rest. And that was kind of the case with Dad. And after a few days of recovery, then we'd get back on the bus and go out there again. So, you know, he was kind of glad to get off the road, I think. Although he enjoyed singing, he loved meeting people. And if he could do all of that without the stresses of travel, I think that he would still do that. But he still sings there in a local church, and he's got a Sunday school class, and he's got a Tuesday Bible study class that he directs. And Dad will always do those things, and he enjoys meeting people in his way.
This is Mark Bishop on Daniel Britt and Friends. And I was going to ask you, when the bishop's bus pulled in, you know, maybe in our minds we're thinking on a Sunday night it pulls in for the last time, pulls in there at home, bus shuts off, you go to sleep, and you live another week. Then for Mark Bishop, on Thursday or Friday, did you get back on the bus immediately and start out on solo work, or was there a time in between?
No, let's see. The group retired from the road, let's see, I think it was in August, actually just before 9-1-1 is when the group got off the road. And it wasn't until January the 2nd, I think, that I began my solo career. And actually, the ending of the group was abrupt, but I had just a few months to put together some songs, write some songs for my solo album. And it's really neat to actually see the evolution of that, because I feel like the songs on my first solo album would have still been good trio songs. All of those years I had been conditioned to write songs that could, you know, easily be sung in three-part harmony, at least three-part harmony. And it was kind of liberating, and took me probably a couple of projects before I figured out, you know, that I didn't have to write for a trio anymore. I always before, when I was writing songs for the group, it had to pass through a couple of filters. Dad had to enjoy the song, and Kenny had to enjoy the song. Well, they both had different tastes on what they would enjoy, and so it was always a kind of a quandary, a creative puzzle to figure out, okay, how can I make this song appeal to Dad and to Kenny so that they'll both want to sing it and put it on the album? So, and I feel like my first solo album was kind of like that. And then as I got along, I think I really got my legs under me with the Can I Pray for You album. That kind of was more along the style that I just had always wanted to sing.
Mark Bishop, not only a great communicator when he grabs a microphone and sings, but communicator through lyrics and songwriting. As you were telling us there, you wrote throughout the bishop's tenure.
Yeah, I would start out if there are folks out there that have a complete, you know, discography, they would look at the first albums and see that I contributed, I think, a couple of songs, and that continued for quite a few years, and then it would grow to three or four songs per album, and then it got to where I was writing about half of the songs for each new recording, and then in the later years, the last 4 or 5 recordings, it got to where I was recording, or they were recording all of my songs, and it took me all of those years to kind of figure it out and to find my own personality with my writing and to get comfortable. And I just had the luxury of learning along the way. You know, I didn't have to write all of our material right there at the start. That's just something that I learned along the way. And by the time it got to the end of the identity of the group was kind of, you know, more closely aligned with a lot of the songs that I was writing then. So it just kind of worked out to where I was able to grow and learn along the way and contribute more and more as the years went by.
Now, in that period between the bishop's retirement and before you actually went on the road singing full time, did you ever struggle with the thought of, well, should I just sit back and maybe do writing and studio work only, or should I get back out on the road and try this solo deal?
Well, when the group first pulled off the road, I was emotionally crushed. I really was. I didn't know if I could even do a solo career, and I had friends that were, you know, trying, a lot of friends in gospel music and the industry who encouraged me in every way. I want to tell you, as soon as the group got off the road, the record company still, you know, encouraged me. Yes, if you want to record an album, you come here as soon as you can. And it was the same way with the Harper agency. They, you know, encouraged me, said, yeah, we're going to keep you busy with dates. And there were a few months there where when I was trying to figure out, you know, do I want to start a new group or do I want to go solo? And the only thing with starting a new group is I just witnessed, you know, it seems like the gospel music way is that you have a lot of turnaround. And, you know, a lot of these groups that you see 1 year, you see them a couple of years later, and there may only be one or two original groups and everyone else has changed. And I wrestled with, well, do I really want to do that? So I thought, well, I'm just going to go, you know, all or nothing here and just write the kind of music that I love that appeals to me and just hope that that will still appeal to a large enough segment of the audience that they won't want to come and come visit the concerts and buy the recordings. But before I went solo, see, because with the group, I wasn't even the MC. I wasn't the person that was always talking, and that was another craft that I had to learn all the way around. And a lot of folks don't know this, but in those couple of months before I went solo, I did have my songs, and I had a PA system set up in my basement. And I would go down every single day, and I would do my program to the wall. I would stand there and sing a 45-minute program and learn how to MC and learn how to sing by myself and compose myself and all of those things. And I did that every day for a couple of months before I went and did my first solo date, because I knew that I was going to be terrified going out on the stage as a soloist and presenting those songs, because it's a completely different presentation when you're part of an ensemble, because you kind of get to tag team the audience. You can come up for a while and sing or speak, and then you can step back and compose yourself while someone else has the audience's attention. But as a soloist, you're the whole thing. Their eyes are on you for the whole 45 minutes.
I can imagine that would be nerve-wracking. And at the same time, maybe that's why you don't see as many soloists in the gospel music field as you see of the groups.
It's a tougher presentation, especially because you have to worry about things like variety and tempo and pacing so much more as a soloist, because if you're going to keep people's attention, you know, in that 42nd through 45th minute, you know, they've already heard your voice, and what can you do that's different than from when you started? With a group, you have a built-in variety, but as a soloist, you have to search for ways to add that variety. Keep it interesting.
You're listening to Mark Bishop on Daniel, Britt, and Friends.
You remember the story of the resurrection day? They went to the tomb, the stone was rolled away. I'm sure that the soldier didn't know what to say. Everyone could see he was gone. Listen to me, Pilate, I'll tell you what I saw. I looked inside the tomb, he wasn't there at all. The pilot shook his head and thought the tale was kind of tall. This is what the soldier had to say. Remember who he is, remember what he does, remember what he said, remember where he was. He can do anything just because. Remember who he is, remember what he does. Maybe all your troubles put you on the ground. Maybe you're believing that they're gonna keep you down. But when I read the Bible and the stories that I found, I believe that he can make a way. Remember who he is, remember what he does, remember what he said, remember where he was. He can do anything just because. Remember who he is, remember what he does. Remember what he does.
Remember what he said, remember where he was. He can do anything just because. Remember who he is, remember what he does. Remember who he is, remember what he does. Remember what he said, remember where he was. He can do anything just because. Remember who he is, remember what he does.
You know, Mark, we can't let the program go any further unless we, you know, really focus in on this songwriting ability and the way that you you come up with these ideas. I mean, you got some really good ones, profound things even that you say in your songs, and then you come
thank you.
And then you come up and surprise us with a song like Bottled Water, you know.
All that does is prove that I have too much time on my hands.
Yeah. But I think we've all thought that, so good job for being relevant.
Well, that's it. I tell people all the time, that song wouldn't be funny if it weren't so true. My grandfather would laugh at us if he knew we were spending our hard-earned money on bottles of water when I'm sure that everyone listening has a kitchen sink.
Yeah, that's right.
But, well, it's just another aspect of life, another point of observation about people, and that's what songwriters do. They watch people and they watch things, and I like to think sometimes that songwriters notice things that other folks don't, and then the challenge comes to the mechanics of it. Then you have to figure out, okay, I've noticed something that maybe not everyone notices. Now you've got to write a 4-minute melody about it and make all the words rhyme.
And in that way, I've come to sort of think of you, Mark, as a guy who's out of the box. It's hard to keep you pinned in. It's hard to keep you.
When do you hear this next album, if you believe that?
When you walk into any store, you'll pay a buck or even more for water, bottled water. If my grandpa were here today, he'd think that we were nuts to pay for water, bottled water. It falls for free out of the sky. The ocean's full, yet still we buy it by the case at Walmart. Bottled water. I'll never understand, but I'd like to meet the man who came up with the plan to bottle up and sell us water. I'm sure his wife said it'll never fly. He said, I bet it will, and here's a reason why. We won't sell just plain old water, but mountain spring, low sodium from Colorado or Canadian water. But where it comes from, no one knows. It could just be a garden hose in Detroit. I'm sure I'd be a millionaire if I could bottle up some air and call it bottled oxygen. Sell beside their bottled water.
Have you ever gotten any criticism for kind of stretching the boundaries of the way of what you're communicating?
No, you know, most folks are too nice for that. If maybe they're listening to that old axiom, if you can't think of anything nice to say, don't say anything at all. So I don't usually hear any complaints or criticism. I'm sure there are folks out there, you know, that maybe they would have something to say, but usually I just get compliments. Folks will come up and tell me, you know, that they enjoyed the songs, were blessed by the songs, and, you know, that's the goal and the aim. And I will add some of the funny songs into the concerts, you know, for that variety that I was talking about, and it breaks up the concert. And it's amazing how once someone has laughed with you, how they will listen to everything else that you have to say. And I always have a good balance, too. I have plenty of songs that don't make you laugh. They go to the other extreme, you know. They will make you cry. So we're always striving to explore all kinds of emotions in the concerts and the recordings.
And the one song I'm thinking about is probably the most current, the Mean, Mean People song.
Yeah, that's a little different, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I like it, though.
Well, it's actually, you know, it starts out and it almost sounds kind of novel. You know, it's a thought, and it sounds like, okay, he's trying to be cute. But actually, as you listen to the whole song, then you kind of realize that the song is saying that there aren't any mean, mean people. There are just people, you know, who are maybe misunderstood, or they're trying to figure things out and they haven't got their act together. And, you know, it talks about that most people are not mean as much as they're just hurting.
Here's a song now on Daniel Britt and Friends.
Life can be a happy song with smiling folks that get along. But those who grumble and complain are like a day that's filled with rain. What are we gonna do about these mean, mean people? Where does it come from? I can't really say for sure. Not much you and I can do for mean, mean people. Love could be the remedy, and Jesus is a cure. Put your head down in your hands, and maybe they'll just go away. Brother, then we understand it only comes again someday. What are we gonna do about these mean, mean people? Where does it come from? I can't really say for sure. Not much you and I can do for mean, mean people. Love could be the remedy, and Jesus is the cure.
Talking to Mark Bishop, and a few minutes ago I mentioned how he's kind of out of the box, but really has good things to say, and it's worth listening to. I recently, well, not too long ago, did a program on, I think, Forgotten Favorites is what I called it. Anyway, my goal was to go and find, to go pull up whole albums of different artists, mm-hmm. and go find the songs that were never the radio charting song, that we never, you know. The way I judged it is I would just look at the cover of the album, and if I saw a song title that I had no idea how the song went, didn't know what in the world the song was about, that's probably the song I played. And I was able to do that with yours.
On every album.
I think it's easy for you because you're such a good songwriter. I mean, you have all these thoughts. Even if they don't make it, and that's a tough job, I might add, to find which song is going to be the chart topper, maybe one or two per album, and then the rest kind of just get thrown by the wayside.
Yeah, that's terrible. That's terrible too.
Yeah, I mean, and they're all your babies.
Oh, absolutely. It's when a lot of times in an interview, someone will ask, "Well, what is your favorite song?" And you know, ask them if they've got kids and which one is your favorite of those. And you know, each one is different, and each one is what it is, and you love it for what it is. And some songs, you know, will aspire to be great songs and will be big songs. And the Singing News, you know, top 20 chart is just filled with those every month. And then there are those songs that, who knows, the Lord may have blessed that songwriter, that artist, to create that song, and they sing it, and maybe there's only one person in the world that it ministers to, but boy, isn't that the song that that person needs.
Somewhere along the way, you realized it's been so long since you had seen sunny skies just up above those stormy clouds. You know someone is broken down. If only there were some way you could call on him. Well, my friend, there is. Just put wings upon
Mark, you're traveling the roads and singing in churches and civic halls all across the country, doing some great concerts and great work. I would say to you, keep it up, keep writing, keep singing. And where can we learn more about your music?
Well, of course, most folks these days will gravitate to the World Wide Web, and we are no different in that aspect. We have a wonderful website. Fixed by my friend Brandon Jones and Steve Perkins. They helped me maintain that website. It's at markbishopmusic.com, and they can learn things about where we're going to be singing, about the recordings, and lots of other pictures and personal items to get them interested in this ministry.
Well, if you're driving around Kentucky right now listening, know that Mark Bishop's not far away. That's where he lives. He may be at his daughter's ball games or wherever. What do they play? I hear they're into athletic things.
Oh, yeah. Both of my daughters love to play girl softball. Seeing that they're girls, it's a wonderful thing for them to do. And my oldest daughter pitches for the high school team here. And then my youngest daughter, she's 9 years old. They don't have a school softball team, but she does play in the summer league. So I always enjoy going to ball games and rooting them on.
And, yeah, and you never know when a song may come from one of those games, Mark.
Oh, they have inspired lots of songs down through the years.
Hey, you're great for doing this. Can we do it again soon?
Oh, yeah, you just holler.
From the valley, the pathway winds upward. At the journey's end is a resting place, where the cold gray skies are below us. And I finally feel the warmth upon my face.
Listening to Daniel Britt and Friends. Each week, Daniel brings you exciting music, conversation, and news updates from the world of Southern gospel. You can hear many of the interviews again online at danielbritt.com. Make a date next week for Daniel Britt and Friends.